Yep.
Welcome to the November 15th, 2017 meeting of the Lyman Planning Board. This meeting will come to order. This is a public proceeding and unless the board specifically votes for an executive session, you have the right to hear everything that is being said and look at all the exhibits that are offered. If the board votes for an executive session, the reason for saying shall be stated. Please notify the chairman if you're having difficulty seeing or hearing. This meeting is being tape recorded. In each instance, the burden is upon the applicant to demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of each project or conditional use application, it will prepare a written opinion, which will be forwarded within 7 days. The board works from a prepared agenda and will be considering tonight's items in the following order. 7 p.m., Philip and Lori Gendron, application for relocation in the Shoreland Zone. Vote on changes to the subdivision regulations, back lots. Workshop to discuss Shoreland Zone Amendment and commercial design standards. Any outstanding planning board business, review and approve minutes, new business and open issues. All right, if you'd like to come down front to... Okay, yep, come down front and...
Maybe we could introduce ourselves to them.
Yeah, sure.
Kelly Demers.
Hi.
Joe Wagner.
Don Hernan.
Rod Tito.
Cecile Dupuy.
Mike Rancourt.
Hi.
Nice to meet you all.
I won't remember any of those names.
It's okay.
Only Cecile, because that's his sister's name.
Okay.
So you're looking to relocate your building? Which one are you moving, the one closest to the water?
Yes, well, actually, we'd like to take down both and build a year-round home.
Take down what, this building and this building?
Mm-hmm. The back one, the one at 75 feet, was an old school in Buxton.
Yeah.
Back in the 1920s, and it was moved there, and it's got cables holding it together right now. Because it looks like the beams are rotten, and it's a mortise and tenon joint, so I think the wall was blowing out, so they put some tension cables in there.
Which one has those?
The one, the back one at the 75-foot line.
Or which says bunkhouse?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, no, that's a different lot.
Well, it says a parking lot over garage.
Yeah.
Oh, I see, okay, yes, but... Okay.
So the bigger part is a house, and the smaller part of that building is a, like a little garage. Yep.
So are you trying to do away with both, the one that's closest to the pond and then the one that says apartment over the garage? You're gonna try to do away with both of those?
Yes.
Replace with one?
Yes, one year-round home.
And the location for that?
We'd like to be as close to the water there as you would allow us, as you can imagine. We'd like to be between 25 and 35 feet.
Right now, you're 14 feet?
Yep.
That appears to be 14.
Mm-hmm. But using the footprint of the cottage and adding 30% doesn't give us a lot to work with the square footage, so we'll also be trying to get more square footage, hoping that tearing two down would help.
But the second one, more or less, I would say unfortunately, is really...
Yeah, it's not working in our favor.
Past the 75, or it's...
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Most of it is past the 75-foot distance from the shore, according to your dimensions.
Yep.
Where's your septic system now?
It's way in the back, yep. I do have letters here from Mark Truman.
Yep.
And I've made 8 copies. He came down with me and said we could, if we needed to put a new leach bed in, we could use that same spot and make it bigger, because it's designed for 2 bedrooms now. If we went to 3, we'd have to change it anyway. Yep.
Oh, I see.
And I've checked with the neighbors on where their points are and where the well is, and it's all where it needs to be. Yep, yep.
Now, is this a building? This is...
That's the cottage.
That's the camp.
Yep.
And I guess you access along that, where it says Twin Pine Lane?
Yes, yep, yep. That's ours that has a right-of-way for the Cummings. The Cummings live on the right-hand side.
And there must be, are there any, utility lines, how do they come?
Yep, there's one right where it says Jane Sterling. It's like 114 feet back from the water, or 126, depending where you're measuring from.
In front of the buildings, right, not behind them?
There, well, it all depends how you look at it, they're on the roadside.
Yeah, I got it, I see it, yeah.
And those two circles behind the cottage, that's a septic pump and the tank at this point in time. But that would have to be moved depending on where we go, and Mark said that's no problem.
Would you probably put in new ones or something, are they pretty old?
85, so yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Doing all this, we might as well spend the extra money to fix that too.
Sure.
Do you actually pump all that all the way to that leach field now?
Yep.
You have 1 or 2 pounds?
I guess one, I really don't know. Wasn't gonna open that cap.
Afraid what you'll find.
Just a seasonal camp right now, so the owners that we bought from just lived there in the summer.
But I talked to, well, Bob Sterling, he said he never had trouble with it, so.
So really, the only issue that I guess we would have would be the distance back from the water line.
Yep.
Pretty much. What about the sizing though, if they stay within 75 feet, they're limited to the 30%, I think?
Yes.
30%.
But we're not, that's not.
It's not for us to decide.
Right, I mean, because it's, that's black and white, it's 30% and that's. But we have those things that we look at.
Right.
For relocation, or greatest practical extent.
Right now, I don't, there's like only three or four trees, they're just cedar trees, they're not big.
So there'd be no trees that.
There wouldn't be any big trees being taken down at all, it's pretty much.
Is your lot pretty flat?
It's flat as a pancake.
Oh, it's flat over there.
Which is good and bad, I guess.
Well, no, it gives you more space.
Yep.
I guess we'll have to set up a site walk and go look at it.
Yep, that sounds to me like the next step.
Would this building stay?
No.
That's going.
That would be going too.
So you would replace both of these with one?
Mm-hmm.
And the ideal would be to have all of it behind that 75-foot setback?
That's not their idea. I don't think.
On this side of it. The lake's up here.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's not what they're asking for though.
Well, it would be good for everybody to go for a site walk, to look at it.
Are they looking at it Saturday morning or something like that, or?
Yeah.
We have to get a two-week notice, right? Was it 10 days?
7 days for our meetings, yep.
Okay, so you got, we got, today's what, the 14th? Well, the first Saturday then that would fit into that would be probably the 25th, but that's the, that is Thanksgiving weekend. Some of the people are going places and things.
Yeah, I'm gonna be out trying to harvest a deer, so.
Keep the population down, protect people's.
Last chance, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
26th looks good, the Sunday.
You'll be back, when you're coming back?
No, someone said no.
Oh, I'll be home, but.
Oh, you'll be out hunting?
Yeah.
No hunting on Sunday?
Not on Sunday.
No, not on Sunday.
Not on Sunday again, that's right.
Well, unless you go over to New Hampshire, but.
Oh. Well, what's a good day then, what do you want to do?
Well, I'm not, I'll do it on Sunday, I don't have a problem with that, but.
I saw opposition from Patty.
No, I'm not, I won't be going on Sunday.
Okay.
But I rarely go anyway, so don't plan around me.
Okay.
Sunday work for you?
Yeah, because otherwise we'd have to wait another week. I mean, it gets, you don't know what the weather's gonna be, so you can't really factor that in.
Tough time of year.
Do you wanna plan for a snow date, just in case? Because, I know, I hate to even say that.
Well, it might happen.
You never know.
We're getting some, I mean, in the hills.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Following Sunday?
Yeah, maybe the following Sunday is a snow date.
Third.
What's a good time?
I get up at 3:30.
Be dark. Won't see as much.
What, 11 or 12?
Sounds good.
11?
11 sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna say long form forecast is showers, chance of 42 degrees. That's long term though.
So that's the 26th?
Yeah.
11.
Yep.
And do we have to do anything for that? Just, we'll be there, obviously, but didn't.
Measured, I mean, do you have any markers on your, well, it looks like you did a lot of measurements.
I did, I didn't put anything on the ground, but I did do a lot of measurements, so.
No, you know where the property lines are, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have to.
They're pretty obvious.
Yep.
And chances are, if you do move this, you're gonna end up putting in a new septic system, a leach field anyway.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, I guess you really can't mark that out until they know how far back they're gonna be, or.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And I think, did Mark, is it Mark that did the septic letter?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think he said it, the replacement can go in the same place, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So at least we know that.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a matter of where we're gonna put the tanks, depending on where the house goes.
Yeah.
And you know where your, maybe it's shown on, do you know where your well is?
Right now is a point underneath the cottage, so we're not worried about that, yeah.
Okay, good.
I guess we'll be all set until.
Good.
Do you have any questions or anything like that?
No, I think we're good, right?
I think we are good.
We put enough thought into it.
The issue would be after the, try to figure out what the distance is from the water line, which is, really always the, it seems like it's always the issue.
Yep.
And after the site walk, we'll have a public hearing.
Yep.
Yep.
And then usually if there's no complaints or concerns from the public, we can make, we can rule on it the same night as a public hearing.
I would hope so.
Okay.
And also, it sort of, little, also might depend a little bit on where your other neighbors are located, how far they are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
From the water.
Yeah, I know, the Cummings are probably 20, 25 feet. And the McDonald's, I think, are 40, something like that, so. And they did it like 5, 6 years ago.
Did you have any questions regarding the ordinance or anything, or the shoreline zoning?
No, I don't think so. I think you, I've read it, it's hard to understand, so I'm sure you guys will keep us online.
It seems, it is.
But it is what it has to be, to keep all the water clean.
Yeah, it's more mandated by the state, so.
Yeah, yep, yep. Because I guess once we do this, then we have to apply to the EPA, is that another?
So for, it's Department of Environmental Protection.
Yeah. Oh, DEP, I'm sorry.
Yeah, any ground disturbance within 75 feet requires a permit by rule from them, so that's what you need.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, so if we take that down, they need to know and what we're doing with the rest, how we're gonna fill the hole and.
Yep.
Yep.
So the site walk is next, and then a public hearing, and then we try and figure it out.
Hopefully we can resolve the issue and.
I think we will.
Let you get started.
Mm-hmm.
Work, spending all the money.
That's right.
Probably putting you on the first meeting after this.
Yeah.
Do we want to do that now?
Yeah, we could, I don't know what the date would be, but.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea, probably.
Because then we'd be putting it off on another meeting, if we don't, right?
It's next week, 29th, right?
No, next meeting is on December.
One on 26th, it'll be the first week in December.
The next.
December 6th is the next meeting.
It'd be 6th, yeah.
First and third Wednesdays.
Oh, first and third Wednesday, March, okay.
I'm sorry, December 6th.
Do we want to do the public hearing that night?
Yep, we'll do the public hearing, and we'll put them on for a, on the meeting agenda for 7, too.
Public hearing right at 7?
6:45.
We'll do it, 10 of.
Six, okay, I'll do 6:45.
That's fine.
Okay.
And are we here, should we be here for that, or is that?
Yep.
Yeah.
You really, I think you should explain what your plan is.
Okay.
To the audience.
You never, you might get nobody here, you might get ten, that's a, usually.
But it's a requirement.
Usually it's not a big turnout, so.
Right, yep.
Thank you.
But you just stand up front and explain what you're doing and.
A butters notified?
Yep, we do that.
We have to get a, you got a list, or we?
We have this, we have the information. Yep.
Good. It sounds like.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
See you from Sunday.
Yep. Do we have any contact numbers?
To get our permit, we have to say all the names.
Is that telephone, mobile, or is that, what is that?
That's my cell phone, is that 831-3691?
Yes, it is.
In case there's some, issue if we don't.
It's bad weather or something.
Yeah.
And if we don't get a quorum for some reason.
Yeah, we have to have three people, so.
Okay. Yep, call me anytime, we usually always have it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, have a great night.
Have a nice holiday.
Same to you.
You too.
So we'll meet here about 10 of or something, or a quarter of 11?
Sure.
Do you guys need, do you usually get a reminder?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Irene used to send us.
I made a note to myself.
Any progress on hiring a clerk? No, nobody knows, huh?
I'm out of the loop.
Okay.
Right. A woman whose daughter's looking for a job, I told her to apply, she's working in an office, and I don't know if she has.
And I don't know who has, or how many have, or anything.
Do they have to apply here, they go online, or what do they do?
I think they have to, yeah, I think they have to bring in their application or resume here, or they can mail it, they could email it.
Yeah.
Last I heard, we had two applications.
Yeah, that's the last thing I heard, but I don't know what that's, where that stands.
Now, last go around, we had some opportunity to interview.
Yeah, we would be good if we could talk to the person, I mean, not that, we're not doing the hiring, but the, maybe.
Want me to pass that along?
Please.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I mean, that would be a courteous.
When Irene's hired.
A courteous thing to do. But that might be a new concept, however, so we'll see.
It's all relative.
You know, precedent has been set before, so.
Yes.
It's tradition.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You're interested in being part of the hiring process?
Yeah, I would think so, you would have to be working with a person.
Yep.
I remember correctly before, we sort of made a recommendation to the selectmen.
Right, I think we did, I think we made a very positive recommendation.
Yeah, a couple, no, two applicants.
So we got our Shoreland zoning ordinance amendments back.
Yeah, that's from our last go on, do you wanna do minutes?
Yeah, we do minutes. Did everybody get to read the November 1st, 2017 meeting minutes?
Yep.
Yes.
Is everybody happy with them?
Yep.
Yep.
I'll make a motion, we accept them as written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Bring your pen.
Well, we could discuss the, which I didn't put on the agenda, but, because I got this, the votes.
Yeah, I see that. Go on, discuss the votes.
Maybe just a, long enough to say, maybe schedule a joint meeting with the selectmen, or invite them to our next meeting, maybe?
Well, it'd be nice to invite them to figure out what they want to do, if they want us to ban this altogether, because the townspeople kind of voted against it, but it was very close.
And granted, it's advisory vote, but again, I think we're still in limbo here, because I don't foresee any state regulations being released anytime soon. The enabling legislation that the legislature passed was vetoed by the governor, Senate overrode by a strong margin, and it came up 17 votes short of overriding in the House. So now they either will conjure up some sort of compromise measure, which I don't think is going to happen. More likely, just extend the existing moratorium past February 1st. Otherwise, it becomes legal, but without any regulation, which I don't foresee them permitting. So.
Well, when does our moratorium run out? Don't we have a we had it like 6 months, and then we could extend it for 6 months or something.
Right.
But that wasn't really ours. That was the selectmen's.
It's the town's.
Town's.
So
right.
We don't have another stab at it. We have this one and that one, and then we don't get another one.
You can't extend it.
Right.
No. One. You can only extend it once.
So we either have to write regulations for it or ban it.
Right. And so we just need direction on which way the selectmen want to go,
okay.
Or
right.
You know, collectively which way we want to go. And then, we can, if we decide we want to develop regulations for any one of those five things, we can do that. And it can always be amended once the state figures out what they want to do.
And if indeed,
we have that meeting Monday night.
Take a look at some
with the selectmen
ordinances.
Right.
From a state, from a town in a state such as Washington, that is about the same size as us. Because I would assume that when the state of Maine comes around with regulations, they'll probably model it on someone like Washington State that permits it. And you know, using a couple models from that state, again, a town about our size, 4,000, something like that, rural, might be give us at least a model to work off of.
Are they already set up?
I believe so. And in Colorado is a little bit more loose. Washington State, from what I understand, is much more precise.
I really haven't heard much about Washington State's big tax revenues, and we keep hearing about Colorado making all this money from tax revenues, but you don't hear about Washington State. Oh, yeah, just.
Yeah, and even the tax revenue reports you get, they're probably not consistent either. I wonder how much what the net is, because they probably had to beef up their law enforcement and.
Awesome. Yeah. Maybe more cases and stuff.
Yeah.
And for the entrepreneur looking for someplace to set up shop, as we found here, with feelers being put out as to what the sentiment is. If I'm looking at, okay, Colorado, Washington State, I'm going to go to Colorado, where it's easier to set up that kind of business.
Right.
Maybe that is maybe the reason why we don't hear much in the way of revenue from Washington State.
It could be.
It's close enough that they're just going over there.
And from what I understand, the taxation in California right now is such that the black market for the product is still out there. It's cheaper.
Nice.
Yeah, so they didn't really get accomplished that part of
it. That's not going to go away either, I don't think.
It is not,
no,
I agree with that.
No. Just like, you buy scratch roll tickets or play the numbers, there's still an illegal numbers game out there. So.
Would the Maine Municipal Association have connections or ties with like Washington that they can go, hey, Washington Municipal Association, do you have any suggestions? Have you seen anything come down the pipeline that you want to share?
Yeah. I'll go through the National Conference of State Legislatures. They're a good source. That's one level up, but has to look.
What guidance do we, are we looking for from the selectmen? In other words, what would?
We need to decide whether we're prohibiting or developing regulations. That's, we need to.
Really the only two options.
And is it all of them, some of them, none of them?
Do we wanna rec, are we gonna recommend to them in writing what we think, or do we need to take a vote or anything as to what we think they ought to recommend? In other words, are we?
I don't think it's our place to.
Well, to me, we either do.
Let's have a meeting first.
You either ban them all.
Yeah.
Or write regulations for them all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, they're all that close to on.
I mean, if you vote to ban them, was that permanent? Couldn't you at a later time vote to?
Right, yeah.
What would be the harm in that where, cause you know the minute the state comes out with regulations, like.
Closer, that's the furthest one apart on.
All the work that we did to try and get it as close as what we think they're gonna do could be way off, or there could be major, there could be major parts of that that could be different that could affect us, whereas if we just said, listen, until the state gets their act together, we're gonna ban it, but at such a time when the state does come out with regulations, that we would opt to turn around and re-vote on that.
You could vote sunset.
And you know, that would be a good way to deal with it too.
To say that's the, it's in the best interest of the town to wait until the state, cause you know they're gonna come out with something eventually. They can't just hang out in the stalemate forever. They're gonna figure it out, they're just not ready to yet. And it may just be safer for us to say that, just say, we're gonna ban it, because we don't wanna, you know, put regulations in place that either aren't gonna make sense, or some of them are, some of them aren't, and then we're gonna have to change them anyways.
Right.
Right.
Why don't we just wait?
There'll be a conflict.
Sounds good.
I mean, it's bad enough that we can't comply with the federal.
Right.
So at least we have to comply with the state. And how about the voting? I mean, according to, I mean, it's really close, but according to the voting, we pretty much prohibit.
There's a line going right down that. That looks almost identical for every single question related to that.
Except for the last one, there was a big gap.
Yeah.
Prohibiting almost all of that, right?
I thought that'd be.
I mean, definitely the social clause.
Yeah, that was the most.
But everything else is pretty close, but it did go with prohibiting everything pretty much, other than personal use.
Three people associate that with a bar next door.
I mean, I think that would be, that would give you the weight to say, look, based on, you know, the straw vote, you know, we're electing to ban it for now, and we can reconsider it later. Maybe just quicker and easier, and the best way to handle it.
I think that's a good idea. But we'll see what the selectmen got to say and.
Right.
Suppose they don't wanna come to our next meeting.
Somebody's coming to their meeting this Monday?
We're going.
We're going to their.
Well, some of, I'm going, I don't know if they.
Yeah, I'm planning on going to something.
Or not necessarily for that, for something else.
Who was coming, someone from the state?
Don Marion.
Don Marion?
Yeah, he's a representative from the, so like the Buxton area.
If he still is coming, I mean, I don't know, nobody has said he isn't.
Right, I haven't.
I mean.
Would that be on the website?
Agenda.
Yeah.
It's on the agenda, right?
Should be, if the agenda's done. But it probably isn't on there now, I wouldn't think.
Right.
Should we ask them there, or should we wait for them to come, or should we invite them to a meeting?
Let's see what they wanna do.
Yeah.
We can at least ask that at the meeting, do they?
Well, I think we gotta get some guidance, but just, not, no offense to anyone, of course, but I would sure appreciate getting some guidance in writing.
Yep.
Because.
Not offensive at all.
In extensive dealings with certain elected officials, my observation is that writing is better.
I cannot recall.
Well, I can. No, I'm just saying, if we could get them to tell us in writing what to do, then we could say, okay, we're gonna do that, or if we have a problem, then we have to go back to them and say, no, we don't wanna do that, here's the reasons we don't wanna do that. If that's the case, hopefully it won't be. But I'd rather not just get a, well, work on it, you know, or mumble mumble, I mean, cause then you don't know what you're doing.
Well, would you rather we sent them a letter, ask them what direction they want us to go? I mean.
Yeah, then it gets on the agenda.
Personally, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd request that they give us direction on what to do with this.
You know, state in the letter, we saw the town's vote, and.
Yeah, it's not.
They're wondering which way they wanna go with this, and.
Because you know, if we stop working on it, I mean, aren't we in the middle, or, I forget.
We're about the middle of the timeframe.
Of the first 6 months.
Yep.
So if we say, let's say we stop working on it, can we still do the second 6 month or not?
We have to have been working on it to extend it. We can't just do nothing. I mean, I think towns do that, they do nothing and then they extend it, but you know, that's not the purpose of the extension.
Right, but we were doing something.
Right, that's right. We've been, right.
Something, getting up.
Absolutely, yes.
But I think it would be a good idea, only because, I mean, I know I sound like I'm paranoid, but based on personal experience, I think it'd be a good idea to ask them in writing to give us some guidance as to where we should go with this, because if we wanna go and develop some regulations, we should do that, but that's a bit of effort. Do we wanna do that or not, or do you wanna wait?
And we would this letter be directed?
I actually thought they would have
given the select board.
Board of Selectmen.
Just, you know.
Give us direction this week, but.
And specify that direction that we want.
Is.
In writing.
Yep.
To us.
No, I just think that would be better for everybody, then there's no question about, well, geez, I thought you guys were, you mean you're not? Why aren't you? I've been through it on other groups with different, not just this group, but other groups, other select boards in this town. So just my comments.
So ask them what they would like us to do, we get in writing, or would you add into that, or would you opt for us to prohibit it until the state comes out with?
Well, I think we should give them that option, I mean, so they can actually have it in front of them.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good addition.
You know, what would you like us to do? But here's an option.
Mm-hmm.
We can wait until the state comes out and we can vote to prohibit it for now and then revisit it when the state comes out. Give them that option and get the answer in writing.
No, because we say, because the vote was so close, we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And then when the state comes out with the rules, we can.
Yep.
You know, you could have another straw vote, see what, if they change their mind.
Yep. Yeah, and actually that's a great point, right? Because by that point, you know, everybody's going to be paying attention to that. They're going to be, the public's going to be a little more educated and, you know, some of this line's going to
change.
Going to change because they're going to be like, well, you know, now that the state's said this, I feel better about.
Right,
you know,
they just don't,
it.
I can understand that people don't want a free for all.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if the state has rules, then,
yep.
Like you say,
yeah.
That line might change.
Right, yep, I agree.
That's a good point.
I agree.
But I think it's just better to give them the option up front.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yep.
I'll draft something up and send it to you to look at and then.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound all right?
That sounds fine.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is a better approach.
Yep.
Save us some heartburn.
Agreed.
Yeah, and just to kind of put the sentiments of the town in perspective, when the town voted on question one last year, it did carry by 147 votes out of 2,561 cast.
2,000 what?
2,561.
Really?
As been compared to 1,151 votes cast. And it was a good turnout this month. But there's some sentiments that were expressed last year that were not expressed again this go around.
Mm. And I think we have to take both of those votes into consideration,
yep.
Or the board should at least.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But again, I kind of perceive the message to be, if you just go with majority, is okay, allow it, but not here.
Right.
And again, once they get rules written, it might be different.
There you go, that's true.
And I truly don't think it's going to make a lot of difference in employment or tax base.
Yeah.
That's just like personal opinions.
But the trouble is that the state is, you know, we had the statewide vote that passed it, right?
Right.
So now it's the implementation that's the issue, really. And
statewide is almost.
So it's going to be, plus the federal thing, but that's another thing. So it's going to be messy, I think,
mm-hmm.
No matter how we do it or how it's done.
You think you'll be able to deduct your marijuana tax on your federal return?
Well, let's see, if you buy your marijuana in New Hampshire and you don't pay sales tax,
right.
You have to put it on your
I went to the safety thing.
Income tax form.
This big safety thing up in Augusta, and their big theme was this year was drugs in the workplace, and they had speakers up there about the marijuana, and you know, some of them were for it, some of them against it. It's just, like I said, you're just seeing it right here.
Yeah. I mean, how do you test for that right now? If you're an employer.
I wouldn't, yeah, that's an issue.
Because they do test for it.
You can give a breathalyzer for alcohol, but what do you do for pot?
I think they do, can't they detect it in the urine?
Blood test?
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
And blood tests, but you have to go somewhere.
Right.
But the problem is the alcohol's in your system for like 8 to 10 hours, and this stays in your system for 30 to 40 days.
Exactly.
They can't tell whether you was this morning or.
Or if you're actually impaired.
Right.
That's the problem.
Man, just detects that it's there.
I have no idea how they're gonna solve that one. Some new technology's gonna have to come out.
Probably.
But, anyway.
And that's probably part of the complexity of the regulation, is like employers that previously could deny employment because they were tested positive in the urine test for marijuana, but now if it's a legal substance, can they really deny you a job?
Still federally illegal.
It's still federal, you're right, if it's a federal job, if it's a bank or something, they can definitely do that, or a hospital, or.
Or some truck driver, I would think, because they have to be.
Yeah, anything that receives any type of federal funds.
That's right.
I mean, the tough part is, like, I deal with this at the hospital all the time, because that HR department, they're so afraid of getting sued. You know, literally, what people do on their own time is their own time, right? Like, to your point, if it stays in your system for 30 days, and I just happen to go out and smoke a joint when I get home to relax, but the next morning I'm, you know, bright, sparry, and ready to go, that's one thing, right? It'd be easy to tell if I walk in drunk, you know, and it'd be easy to, relatively quick and easy to determine that, and then, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, you can't necessarily dictate what somebody does, at least at the hospital, what they do on their own personal time. And that includes when they walk out the door and they're off hospital property. If they walk across the street to the bar and have a bunch of drinks and get drunk, they're not at work.
And then you get the issue of prescription marijuana.
Right.
I have a prescription.
Yep.
Well, sir,
that's right.
Sir,
so now, how do they handle that?
Right.
That's true.
It's probably one of the reasons why it's so tough for them to come up with a bunch of regulations, because that certainly has to come into the picture somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
How do you manage that? How do business, because, you know, businesses are going to look to say, thank you, State of Maine, for approving this. Now how are you going to help us regulate or determine whether or not, you know, we can get sued or not?
There's one thing they talked about is prescriptions, because the insurance company won't pay for your prescription, but if you pay for it, they'll reimburse you.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense, though.
That's a loophole.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, was there any value in us going back to that facility in Saco? Because he had offered, he said, we're going to have our extraction facility up and running in a couple of weeks or whatever. Mm. And he invited us back, but, you know, if we're going to, maybe we wait until after what the selectmen say?
Yeah,
I think so.
That makes sense?
I want to throw something out there, though. We have recreational and we have medical.
Yep.
And medical will be doing extractions, because we can't prohibit medical.
Right.
So maybe it's still a good thing to see that,
true,
so that we can see how we want to
regulate the extraction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a dangerous thing, because it's explosive.
Mm.
And
there's a big fear of that, but I think if you plan it correctly and build it correctly, it's pretty well, it should be safe.
Should be, it's a chemical process, but
so
it's no worse.
The only area we'll allow it in is in the center of Dayton Pits, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Just in case.
You can see it now. Somebody said, well, I watched 3 episodes of Breaking Bad, and I can set one of those up.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be great if you have a motorhome you want to sell.
Yeah.
The value would just shoot right up.
I don't know if everyone saw this. Maine Titan System on medical pot caregivers, that they're cracking down on how caregivers grow and distribute medical marijuana, allowing for surprise inspections and implementing a plant-to-patient tracking system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that wasn't in place.
Something along those lines.
So even these thick ones are now getting tightened up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That
makes sense.
Makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. His brother was getting a caregiver license and just growing their heart out.
Yep.
So you want to go on to the shoreline zoning now? Or?
Yeah.
Can we talk about back lots first?
You want to talk about back lots?
MMA got back to me on our proposal to change our subdivision.
Okay.
And they said they feel like we need defined standards in order for us to, so that an applicant knows what, when his property would meet certain standards to request backlots, and so that we have standards, so we can prove we're treating people by the same set of standards.
Right.
If they appeal, we can say we went over these, so we didn't have any standards, so they thought we should define some. Similar to like, I don't know if he meant the standards needed to be similar to variance requests, but standards, to get a variance, you need to meet four criteria,
right.
So do we, I mean, the only one I thought of one standard where there is no road frontage, no ability to create, we'd have to say no ability to create required road frontage, but, and the other one I could think of is, that it must be an environmental benefit. Must prove there's an environmental benefit to using backlots.
Wetlands.
Right.
Or, you know, would reduce the impact of wetlands. Yeah. I think you said where the lot is too narrow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how we want to word it, but that's one of the reasons we would.
Sliver.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And is there any other reasons why we would consider? Where there is an environmental advantage to using backlots?
Yeah, that would vary.
Environmental impact, if it would be harmful to wetlands would be the only thing.
I guess the applicant could say, well, if I can use backlot provisions, it's less of an impact on the environment or on the wetlands, because I don't have to have as much of a road or something like that.
Anyone could argue that, though, right?
Well,
not if they're not crossing wetlands. I mean, if they,
yeah, the wetlands would be the issue, but
yeah,
there'd have to be some. You could always come up with some environmental plus. You know, if I do that, I'm not using hot top and
these standards. We would have to vote on that they meet. I mean,
right?
They could. People can. Trying lots of things.
So if we're gonna make him backlots, what's the standard gonna be for the road to the backlot? Is it just gonna be the regular road standard? For a subdivision?
That depends on how big of a backlot and what they mean.
You could literally make four or five backlots.
Yeah, that's
depending on how the property was
laid out, right?
You could. I mean, you could ask for it, I'll put it that way.
We have before, and I'm only right, wrong, or indifferent, we have before let people have gravel roads for backlots.
I only know of one, and the subdivision had a gravel road because it was before we made them tire it.
Sawtell Acres? Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yeah, it was up by one of the ponds.
Quinlan's is one. He did three lots, we didn't make him pave that, and we let him use back lots.
That's the one that for his mother-in-law and
yeah.
Mother?
Morris had one on off Walker Road.
Yeah,
the
but
lots,
there was really no road going into that. It was all driveways off the Walker Road.
He has a back lot in that, though.
He had one.
He had one.
The others are on the road.
Right.
He just had one.
And that's, I think they're legitimate. I'm not saying they're not legitimate, but I think my goal is so that people know what to expect when they're making these applications. It's easier for us.
Right.
It's easier for them.
Right, but what's going to happen, what I foresee happening is somebody wanting to put in four or five houses on back lots and
not bring up the road.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That one for Sawtell Acres, that latest one was another one, where they took three of the lots and reconfigured them and made, what, five lots, something like that?
Oh,
for
yeah.
For the Fluckagers and...
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and they made some space for everybody down there.
Oh,
the
yeah,
they
all
yeah.
That little thing,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was all paved, the
nope.
Subdivision.
No, that
nope.
Subdivision was before we made them pave it.
The only difference between that was that that wasn't a new thing, was it? I mean.
No.
In other words, we had exist, I know maybe it should make.
We had an existing subdivision.
We had an existing situation and they wanted to make some modifications to that. Now, the only other issue with the A-frame one is that, over there by that area, is that it's new. We do have a house there now, or it's being built, but it's all new situation. And it's, I don't know what, I don't know whether there's any, there may be some wetlands over there too.
A lot of wetlands, and that would actually fall into this.
So that might help them, I don't know, but, yeah, we gotta have some criteria that, that makes sense, that we don't wanna be doing it, you know, one thing for one person, one thing for another person. It's gotta have some criteria that we can hang our hat on. So we don't get into an issue where somebody says, well, you were showing favoritism to this guy or that guy or something like that, because we don't wanna do that.
Because that's kinda how it looks right now.
Yeah, we wanna follow a set of rules.
That's the goal, to avoid that.
Let's follow a set of rules.
And I'm not saying I think it looks that way.
No.
But it could look that way.
It could, yeah. People will perceive the way they want to, but if you got something in writing, at least we say, hey, we're trying to follow this set of rules here. So what can we come up with? That's the bottom line, right?
Do we want two or three or four criteria? Let's try to.
The more the better.
Right.
More options, because we don't want someone to just say, I don't feel like doing it. Well, no, you have to meet one of these things here.
And do they have to meet all of them, or do they have to meet a majority of them? That, those are the.
Well, what else do you want for criteria?
Yeah, I can't.
What do we have so far? We have environmental impact. And I can print off the email.
No ability to create road frontage.
Road frontage.
So how would that?
Narrow lots, really.
If you have to, you have to access the subdivision from the road.
Right.
Right? From a main road, from a town road or whatever. So if you have a subdivision, you have more than one lot. So how would that?
Back lots are a right of way to the lots. Not, you don't have to have 300 or 375 feet of road frontage on that right of way. Back lots don't need that amount of road frontage.
Okay. So would that be a way, I mean, they could get away with not having enough frontage, I mean, get a smaller, have no frontage and build houses on that, in that subdivision, get away with not making roads at all.
We'd have to have some.
I guess I have to see an example of where they would not have an ability to create road frontage.
They still, back lots require for one house, the right of way has to be 50 feet wide with a 12 foot wide traveled way. For two or three, the traveled way goes up to 20 feet, and for three or more, it goes up to 24 feet. So even if you were splitting your lots one every 5 years and you were making back lots, you would have to meet those standards at least. So
okay.
So they do have to build some type of, and they have to have a turnaround for fire trucks, fire emergency vehicles.
Right.
I'm sorry, Patty, and that's the way it is for
private lot splits. That do one every 5 years and don't come to the planning board. Or just one private lot split. But.
Could that not be applicable through shoreline to some extent? The number of residences, buildings.
I don't think that applies in the shoreline. Because the shoreline ordinance regulates the shoreline. Because when I first came here, I tried to make some of the land use apply to a shoreland lot, and I was pretty quickly corrected on that.
Okay.
So that's a good question too, because it wouldn't have.
And requiring paving, for whatever reason.
Shoreland lots don't even require road frontage. Shoreland lots do not require road frontage at all. Sorry, I had to throw that out while I thought of it.
Well, again, requiring paving near a shoreland, in a shoreland area, I don't think would have immediate environmental impact in terms of runoff. So.
But I don't know that we ought to try to.
Shoreland into this.
Yeah, I think we ought to try to sort of stick with back lots that would not be in the shoreline. I mean, if it's possible. I mean, for the zoning ordinance, don't we want to, talk about basically all lots, and then if the shoreline, we could possibly modify that, right? Shoreline zoning could modify that, probably be more restrictive, I would think, or less.
Shoreline doesn't require any road frontage.
So it's less restrictive.
Right.
I just gotta bring up, this is actually going kind of contrary to everything I was taught in my business. Because right now, we're delineating that there's two different zoning. There's standard zoning, and then there's shoreline. What I was taught in my business is you'd have your standing zoning, standard zoning, then you'd have a shoreline overlay.
We don't, though.
Because that's the kind of why, because we could have a virgin piece of waterfront that had 5-acre zoning, but now in town, it would be shoreline, so we take that 5 acres that's thrown out, we don't have to do that, and we can just chop up and put these little lots in there.
Shoreline lots are 40,000 square feet, and if there was an overlay zone over the residential or general purpose, it would be 40,000 square feet.
Say the way.
No, overlay, it could be that way, but.
The most restrictive, it would be the 5 acres with the minimum of the setbacks and water frontage.
Not in, the other ordinance that I worked with had zoning ordinance with shoreline overlay. But shoreline lots had 40,000 square feet for a minimum lot size.
Yeah.
Even though they were overlaid from residential or other.
I'm learning this here because with, on certain parcels that I've done and spoke to code, they say, you know, yeah, there's this overlay, this is the minimum requirement, but we have this, someone up in Blue Hill, owns 400 acres, and they want to split and break off a lot. Well, the minimum zoning there is 5 acres, so they have to have, even though it's going to be shoreline, they got to have 5 acres land, and then the residence itself, the location of the building must meet the setbacks and everything else. So they go with the most restrictive ordinance, and then everything falls underneath it.
That's not how ours is set up.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm looking for clarification. It's two separate, distinct.
Isn't that how it's supposed to work, though? I mean, the most restrictive rule.
Well, then why have a shoreline overlay? In that case, it sounds like.
Well, the shoreline would be the most restrictive, right?
Additional, that'd be the most lenient.
It isn't.
It isn't.
It isn't even with an overlay. Say I was overlaid. The lot size is smaller.
Yeah, the lot size is smaller, that's right.
They don't need road frontage, they need shore frontage.
Right.
For a new lot, you need 200 feet of shore frontage.
Right.
But nothing for road frontage. And you have to have a right-of-way to it, but.
Right. Yeah, that's right, the frontage is the water.
Yeah.
Not the road.
So what else do we think of for restrictions for a back lot? The subdivision.
I wonder if we could find out what other subdivision rules are for other towns to see if they.
Still gonna require them underground utilities?
I think
we
should.
Yep.
Yeah, that shouldn't be.
That's not a criteria.
It's not a criteria, but I can just see someone going, oh, well, I got 1,200 feet just to get to this, it's gonna be so expensive. That's not our problem.
No, cost can't be an issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Cost is not our problem.
Right.
So, okay, so we vote, I think everybody agrees on the environmental one, right?
Yep.
Right.
Well, how are we wording it, Don?
We're not creating adverse effect on delineated or designated wetlands or other.
Well, we're trying to, not, because we can't do that anyway. That's part of the criteria. What we're trying to do is give us a reason to even consider back lots.
Could we state it something that we could consider approving backlots if the if the use of backlots minimizes the environmental or reduces the environmental impact?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Could we do something like that? Mm-hmm. In other words, that would be one possible criteria that we could say, okay, that's why we're going to allow them to use backlots. If we still have to vote on it, but I mean, you're looking for something. Objective,
reduces,
not subjective.
Right, reduces environmental impacts.
Yeah, that'd be one thing. What about this situation here where, do we care, I mean, what happens if the applicant says, well, I, because of the shape of the lot, I cannot get the required road frontage? Do we say, but I have the space, in other words, I have enough room there, I have, I'm not sure if I could draw one out that would meet this.
Tell what number one does?
Yeah.
Cannot make the road frontage?
Yeah, if that's if that's possible, I'm just trying to think of a lot that would.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an example of that.
Be shaped such that.
Hilltop Hammerhead Lot.
Yeah, you probably come up with some lot that's weird shaped.
Like a pie-shaped lot?
Yeah, or something that.
Something 300 feet wide and 2,000 feet deep.
Yeah, well, you couldn't get the road frontage, but.
And still get lots on it.
You could get lots, but you couldn't get the road frontage. So, I mean, that would be, if someone came up with that thing, I mean, if somebody comes in and says, I just don't wanna put the road in because I don't wanna spend the money on the road, well, that's not a criteria.
Right.
It's not our issue, really, or it shouldn't be. But, I mean, that's a possible thing if we could figure out, you know, maybe somebody could sketch out a.
The shape of the lot,
Not conducive to standardized subdivision?
You could say something along, if, where the shape of the lot does not permit, required road frontage under the subdivision regulations.
But when you make a subdivision, when you put the road in, that's road frontage.
Correct. So I'm saying this, but is it, can you envision a, you might have something complicated where you had wetlands here, there was a certain buildable area, but if you, you know, these criteria prevent the applicant from building a road that gives you the normally required, what, 300 feet or whatever, road frontage, if you could conceive of that. So we're saying, okay, applicant, you've got the space there, but because of the building area in this glob, you can't run the road to get the required frontage, so we're gonna consider that as a possible mitigation.
Where the shape of the lot prevents creation of the required road frontage?
Yeah, if that sounds right to you guys.
It sounds to me, though, that would be opening up.
Yeah.
An opportunity for, to take any lot.
Well, it depends on.
Any chunk of land and say, well, I can make a subdivision here because.
Well, cause your end lot's always gonna be lacking road frontage.
Yeah.
If you have a deep piece of land, you know, it goes in square like that, you go up here, this lot's always gonna be lacking a road frontage in the back.
It could be that way.
Because you're gonna build the road to it and then have a driveway.
And I wanna just remind us why we might wanna approve back lots, because people can do this one lot at a time every 5 years. Create roads without road frontage. But we don't get fire protection, we don't get underground power. There's things that we can get, it's sort of a give and take, it's not just all give.
You're allowing it, but you're saying this is what you need to do to get it.
Right.
So you accomplish a better task in the forefront, rather than letting them do it every 5 years and then at you know, 15 years down the road, you can't get a fire truck down there.
So ultimately, I mean, they should be, we should require this regular standards when.
Whenever possible.
Right, but there's times when, and I think we get more by giving a little.
Yeah, I think you're right on the fire protection part of it, that's certainly a factor.
We get sprinkled houses, or we get a cistern, when, if we let them break it off every 5 years, we get nothing, and there's houses out there.
The same thing with the underground utilities, which is.
I think what you'll find is, when they figure out they're gonna put a, you know, a 40 or 50 foot wide road that's paved, they're not gonna wanna go that route.
Then that's okay, I mean.
Can't stop them.
Well, I understand that, but.
No, I mean, it, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should allow back lots in subdivision, but.
And it seems like almost always situation could be, depending on where the lots, the overall subdivision lot is, that if you do have it, the end back lot is not gonna have road frontage, probably.
Well, yeah.
It probably won't, I mean, unless they wanna somehow run a road down and come into the end lot, I mean, you probably won't have road frontage, you'll probably just go
go in there, right?
Go to it and that's it.
Would make, that's what I would try to do, I think.
Do we wanna have a minimum number of lots that a subdivision can have using back lots? For a small sub, I mean.
Minimum or maximum?
Maximum.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No more than five.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I don't know what our situation is now, whether we, what's been approved, not that it, we shouldn't have to agree.
Smaller, we had three lots, Morrison's have one lot, that Sawtelle Acres.
Had about.
Four or five.
Yeah.
Because if they have enough land to have seven lots, they should have enough land to have road frontage.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
What would think, yeah. Okay. So what do you wanna say, five maximum? Is that too many?
I'd say three.
Lenient.
Three?
I mean, I'd.
Say three?
I think three's pretty generous for back lots, but that's big.
Does that count the lot that's on the road, the original road?
Yeah.
We can't, we, I don't wanna be specific to that property.
Yeah, cause that could be, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, won't be the peril. Yeah, three, cause other than that, then they're looking at making some money on the whole development and developmental costs is incorporated into the whole plan anyway.
Should be, should be.
Oh, yeah?
It's gotta be, actually.
Yeah, if they're not, they're not doing their business properly. Entrepreneurial profit.
How many was there in that Sawtelle Acres one?
I thought there was three back lots, but I could be wrong. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
They had three back lots, I believe, and the common.
And they reconfigured them, I think, in the.
The common area.
That was the deal, they were reconfiguring the common area.
Right.
Well, we reduced the lot size. It used to be 5 acres and then we changed it to 3 acres.
Oh, that's right.
So they took.
For a relief.
Three lots and made, I think they made five lots. I can go grab it, but.
Yeah, I think what they had was three lots and ended up making two more lots plus the common area.
Right.
Which in turn was kinda like three lots, but the other ones is.
Right, doesn't count as a.
Built on. That's what I think it was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, can we, anybody think of any other criteria besides, we talked about environmental impact or minimizing environmental impact? We talked about the road frontage?
Yeah, no ability to create road frontage.
Yeah, anything else that we can think of?
Do you wanna do maximum lots?
I think we should, yeah, I agree, three.
Yeah, I would, three, does everyone think three is?
Yes.
You mean maximum back lots, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Is that what that number is?
Yeah.
I would think so, cause otherwise, I mean.
Well, if you have enough room for four lots, I mean, you should have.
Seem like you oughta have, be able to configure the, and if the applicant proves that it's impossible, seems like you could cut the pie differently and come up with road frontage, you would think. I mean, I don't know, unless there was some weird stream or some other thing in the middle of it with, you know.
I'm just trying to think of the one down by the A-frame, how many was proposed back there?
I thought it was five, was it five? I forget, how many?
Five, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't wanna be specific to one subdivision.
Yeah, I don't.
No, he had room for ten, really, or if there was 30 acres there.
Yeah, but.
Perking.
Couldn't perk.
That's the environmental wetland.
Unless they decided to go with some kind of septic or pump sewage or something, which would be expensive.
I don't think they can do that.
Oh.
Four lots.
Four lots total?
He's got the front one, which was the out sale, then there was gonna be the access, one, two, three back lots created.
So that would.
Well, two of them would technically have the road frontage on this road, then there's these two that wouldn't have sufficient road frontage.
Kelly, put that away.
We're trying not to be specific, cause.
Hypothetical example.
Yeah, yeah.
Not this one.
But every lot.
I think it meets some of the criteria that would.
Every lot would be different.
Yeah, it's taken its own merit.
Development would be different.
Would be, any type of topographical features, rocky, bony, mountaintop, we really don't have any mountaintops here that are built on the side.
We have lots of ledge.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Snake around it and instead of blasting through 50 feet of ledge to put the road in.
How's the environmental criteria worded right now?
if the use of back lots reduces environmental impacts. I think we need something.
Yeah, that's nice, it's too general, somebody's gonna be able to apply a lot of cases to that.
Like a chickadee's.
Just not using hot top is favorable to the environment, right?
Shouldn't be worth something along the lines that it does not pose a significant detrimental environmental impact.
Well, we can't allow that.
Anyway.
That's one of our standards that we.
We want something that's different from what our current sta- I mean, different, but.
Well, the way it's worded now, it's like you have to prove that this back lot does something good for the environment.
Yeah.
And how do you do that?
Reduces environmental impacts by using.
Makes it less bad.
Right.
Well.
But how would it reduce by using?
I know on McKenzie Way, we finagled some lines.
Right.
Because they had a big swamp there. And we finagled some lines so they could put their house lot in.
By building less road.
Yeah, crossing the wetland.
We had them move because of the swamp.
Okay, oh, the wetland would prevent the.
But there might be other environmental impacts other than.
I remember it had something to do with the road frontage.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago though, but. Remember, we did something over there because of that big swamp in there.
Which one was that?
Over on McKenzie Way. One of them lots, there was a big swamp there and we did something with the line, they had them do something with the line so they could get the house in there. Because of the environmental impact, the filling in the swamp. But I actually think the DEP was involved with that. I almost think we let them put the driveway onto the other lot or something. We did something.
Like a shared driveway?
Yeah, I think we did a shared driveway or something.
To
minimize the impact. But that was a long time ago, so.
Well, but I think that's the wording right there, minimizing.
So the use of back lots can be considered if it minimizes impacts on environmental.
Really significantly reduces impact. Make it quantitative. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not gonna block the turtle lane.
Yeah.
Yes. Backlots.
Significantly.
Reduces impact.
Minimizes, right?
Yeah. Not just a little bit, but. Significant. If we do it this way, we'll adversely affect whatever natural resource we're trying to protect.
I'm thinking environment and wrote wetlands.
This is a hard one to write criteria for.
Yeah, because someone's going to try to circumvent it. Guaranteed.
Well, and I think if we have some standards that they can look at before they consider it and that we can vote on when we consider it.
Yeah, that's
we can
something objective as best possible.
Better
objective.
Prove that we're treating everybody that comes before us the same.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You think we should have something in there about back lots as long as they can meet the road width to get to them? I mean.
What do you mean?
You get a back lot, let's say they get a back lot up in here and there's a swamp. They say, well, if we put a back lot there, we can put a 20-foot wide road in.
That would only go for two houses. Because the third, 2 to 3.
Yeah, but it's a subdivision. We're talking subdivisions.
Right.
It's supposed to have a 24-foot road, wide road, I think, that's paved.
Right.
I'm just throwing it out there, Pat.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Okay, so what were you saying?
So if you're going to have a, let's say you got a piece of land like this,
yeah.
And you want to have a back lot up here, but let's say it's all swamp in here, and we can only build up here, but we can only put like a 20-foot,
Are you saying you can waive the width of the road?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they have to meet the width of the road to have the back lot.
Yeah.
Can you compensate by creating an equal amount of wetlands off of that?
DEP would, after a certain amount of, they can do some wetland fill without a permit, and then once they go over that, they need a permit, and then usually they have to make wetlands somewhere else for the wetlands they fill, once they get to that level of permitting.
So it'd be kind of a null thing then to put in there?
So it bounces out?
I don't know.
Well, I see what you're saying, 'cause backlots allow, so for one house, which they wouldn't need a subdivision for one or two houses anyway. If they're just splitting a lot into two, they wouldn't need to come to us, so.
Right.
But for two or three houses for backlots, the right-of-way width is 50 feet, it's 50 feet for all of them. Traveled way width is 20 feet, and for more than three, the traveled way is 24 feet, which
But.
Our ordinance requires 24 feet, but we got that little.
But wouldn't they fall under the subdivision rules, 'cause we're talking about a backlot and a subdivision?
That question's gonna come up every time, so we need to address that too.
Because to me, if you have a backlot and a subdivision, you gotta follow the subdivision rules. That's why we have subdivision rules.
Well, that's what the real crux of the matter is.
Like I said, that's my opinion, I mean.
But I think we, I think if we look at the ones we've done, I don't know if we've done, we haven't done that, so, but we wanna go forward, but we just wanna have it in writing, so that we're not deciding based on, and I'm not saying we decided based on who's there, we decided based on what they told us. But it should be more.
Specific.
Because if we're gonna go back to that ordinance every time, you know, they're gonna say we're gonna put backlots in, but because of backlots, we don't wanna put underground power there. You know, I mean, they, anything that costs extra money, they're not gonna wanna do.
I think if they create a backlot subdivision, it's gotta fall under subdivision guidelines.
Right, I mean, anything they propose to do that doesn't meet subdivision regulations, we would have to waive. You can't just say, 'cause it's a backlot, you don't have to do underground power, we'd have to waive that standard.
Right.
Which we'd have to do for the road too, I think.
They'd have to request a waiver.
Right.
And give some reason for it, other than, and I don't think cost is a.
I mean, they're gonna try.
Well, yeah, I mean.
They do pretty regularly.
Yeah.
But they have to convince us that, and we have some criteria for waiving in our ordinance for extreme hardship, which they'd have to prove. I mean,
It's complicated to write criteria, to make it objective, and then.
Make sure we're not.
Yeah, to make sure we're not, we have something we can hang our hat on. I mean, that you can say, okay, here's the criteria, here's what we did, that they, you know.
So we had written, backlots may be considered and authorized by the planning board upon written request by the applicant. The planning board's authorization for backlots shall be due to the unique circumstances of the lot and shall not be used to circumvent the substantive
Right.
requirements of the subdivision regulations.
Do we wanna put down, do we wanna add some, is that?
Well, that's okay, but we need some.
Need to add,
Yeah, and we should.
Qualifiers.
Some examples of.
Some criteria.
Criteria, or criteria for possible waivers could be blah, blah, blah.
Due to the unique circumstances and meets the following criteria.
I don't think we should give them ideas on how to get waivers, they need to come up with those on their own.
Well, but you know, she's saying.
Well, MMA says we need some.
Something that's subjective.
They didn't have any examples for us?
Well, she mentioned these two.
This model subdivision regulations for use by main planning boards, does it have anything in here?
No, 'cause backlots are not a common thing.
Except here.
No.
Okay.
Except here.
And it's hard, because we allow them, like, we allow them so people can privately create them over a period of years, but we don't get anything, any safety.
Yeah, we're not getting any benefits from road width, cisterns or sprinklers or.
Right, underground power.
Underground power, stuff like that, we're not getting any benefits, I mean, that's sort of a long-term benefit for the town, I think.
I mean, a subdivision is not for the average property, you know, individual property owner. It's more companies or people that have a substantial.
You gotta have some money to, upfront money to develop it.
Money to be able to, and so, I mean, I don't think we should need to loosen the rules too much. But give them a wide open opportunity to circumvent those regulations.
And that's really not the goal, but.
Right.
We've done it and then we either stop doing it and we say we're not gonna do it, or we do something that we can prove we've treated everybody the same by a certain set of standards.
Right.
Cause we're.
Can we restrict the number of backlots that are created from a backlot? Say, I get 100 acres, and I have one lot and I wanna create a backlot. Now, I've got that because it's off my driveway and I've created, turned my driveway into a right of way. I'll use my perfect example, I'm off here at Deer Hill, we're a three lot subdivision, I have the largest parcel. I could create technically a backlot because I have sufficient land, and then just off my road, just punch through.
No, you'd have to come in for a subdivision modification.
Cause you're in a subdivision. But.
That's, you know.
I get the gist of what you're saying.
Can we prevent just, oh, I'm big lots and split, 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 you know, spider web effect.
Not over a period of years, you can't, can you?
Every 5 years you can split once, right?
Right.
But if it's off a backlot, can you split a backlot off a backlot?
To extend the right of way.
Which is fair, I mean, it follows the rules.
And that's slow growth, that's, you know, one split every 5 years, as opposed to a subdivision, which is immediate growth.
Yeah.
So should have standards that are pretty high to make it as.
Well, if you got it like our subdivision, 10 lots, if you have a 10 lot subdivision, you may wanna be more strict than you have a 3 lot subdivision, in a sense, I mean, you wanna have a road, you wanna have underground utilities, you wanna have fire protection, you wanna turn around. But, anyway, I'm not sure we're getting there or not, we're not getting there. It's tough.
And if subdivisions like a maintenance agreements, right, like road maintenance.
They still would have to, yeah.
They still have that, right.
Which we.
And that, the backlot road or area would also have to be maintained, or is that exempt from maintenance because it's not really a road?
No, it wouldn't be.
In a subdivision.
No, it wouldn't be.
So that would be an issue too. I mean, it could be a neglected backlot.
No, cause they'd still have to meet that criteria or get it waived. It's not just a, here you go, you can do backlots and you're on your own, this is all you have to do. They still have to meet all the subdivision criteria unless we waive it.
Which would include the roads.
Yep.
Road, and that would be considered a road if we allowed a backlot. Then that access road is a road that has.
Cause even the backlots that we did, we waived, I think we waived the road standards for Quinlan. We didn't just say, here, meet the backlot standards, we waived those standards. I don't know what we used for a reason, but pretty sure we waived the road, we had a big discussion about that.
Yeah, I remember we had a big discussion and it was the guy's driveway.
Right, and there was a reason we waived it, I mean, I think we legitimately did it, but.
Cause she was gonna use his driveway.
Yeah. Right.
Matter of fact, I think the house was built like 20 feet from his driveway.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It was really close to his house, I mean. I think they just went back to the minimum setback and.
But we waived it, we didn't just say, cause it's a backlot.
Didn't he give one of those pieces of land to his daughter too? Was it, no, they sold it?
I think he still owns it. I think we talked him into doing three instead of two.
Yeah.
Remember? We suggested he did three instead of come back again.
Otherwise you'll be back looking for approval, and we said it makes more sense to set it up.
Yeah.
To do it all at once. I think we, I sort of remember that now, yeah. It's probably the right thing, really.
I don't, we didn't talk him into it. We gave him that idea, yeah.
Give him the option. Okay.
Do we wanna go with those three?
I think so, I don't think.
Did we decide three is the maximum number of lots?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we need a vote?
Do you wanna vote on that or not?
Do we write up and vote on it, though? We should probably see it all.
Maybe we should write it up.
Write it up.
Yeah.
So I can write it up, send it to MMA.
Can see what they say, and if.
Put it on the agenda for a vote at the next meeting, if MMA says the wording's okay.
If maybe you could ask them if they have any additional concrete examples.
I don't.
Maybe they won't do that.
Backlots are pretty unique.
They probably won't, well, I don't know, you know, they don't stick their neck out anyway, cause they're not, they don't have any legal standing in a town, really. I mean, they give you advice, but they're not gonna back you up on it.
Right.
If somebody sues you, you're on your own. Well, which is fair, I mean, I couldn't, I wouldn't ask them to do that.
Yeah, that's why you have a town attorney.
Well, we gotta do something, so I think that's just, let's try it, see if they have, maybe they have some other ideas. We wanna sit on it, we wanna move it, if we can.
I will, well, we can't really, I was gonna say I'll type it up, and if you guys see any glaring typos, you could let me know. You can't really discuss it by email, but.
No, that's.
Yeah, but we can edit and point out, we can individually tell you, right?
Okay.
It sounded so simple when we started out.
I didn't realize it was such a complicated subject.
Potentially contentious.
Okay, what else we got?
The shoreline zoning amendments, do you wanna look at, those are pretty minor.
These are, this was sent in September, and then they.
Yeah, when we did our last.
Update?
Yep, they missed a few, cause they looked at our ordinance before we amended it, but.
Yeah.
We missed. Three small things.
These are their comments up front here.
That's it right there.
Further amendments are necessary, it says.
Yep.
Must be adopted, okay. Okay, what's the first one, P15P2A. Oh, I see.
One of them, the first change is adding a single footpath.
Yeah.
That's the only change.
Okay, that's great. Who's the next one, let's see. P1E.
And the second change is actually on the first page, and it's the first one right up on this page, it's this one. And all that is talks about, we have safety hazards in our wording. And this says, except to remove hazard trees, and there's a section that describes hazard trees, so.
Okay.
That's the only change, yep.
Okay.
And.
16E4.
Hazard trees again.
Oh yeah, that's just changing ground floor area to footprint, special exception.
Well, there's one before that, right?
Yeah, it's at the bottom.
Anything above street.
It's crossed out, I think it's a hazard tree thing again.
Yeah.
Creation of a clear. storm damaged, dead, or hazard trees.
Yep, so it's adding hazard trees into.
A footprint, they're using the footprint.
Yep, and the next one is just changing ground floor area to footprint.
Describes footprint.
And then it's just adding the definitions that we missed the first time.
What's that function? Functionally water-dependent uses, they changed that somewhere.
Let's see.
Yeah, that one was pretty complicated, I was looking at that.
Oh my God, who wrote this thing?
It adds recreational boat storage buildings are not considered to be a functionally water-dependent use.
So they added one sentence.
Yep.
And it was too bad they don't show that as a change.
Because actually we have.
Rewrite the entire first to strike out and add.
Yes, that's what I would do.
But wasn't it?
And I can minimize that a little.
Well, that's.
Storage buildings are not considered. I thought boat storage buildings were in here. Yeah, see, it is in there excluding recreational boat storage buildings. They just, I think they just moved it, they worded it differently, they put that at the end.
Yeah, they made it more specific, I guess. Oh, yeah, I see, they clarified it, sort of.
Yeah.
They made a
specific sentence. With about the recreational boat storage buildings.
And they added some definitions.
Yeah, they had some tree.
Who writes it? Sapling, seedling, storm damage tree.
Because all those things are mentioned in the hazard tree section.
Okay, gotcha. So they have further definitions. Change the definition of structure, I guess.
And they added, what did they add?
Just copped out.
Oh, they added in that structure that subsurface wastewater disposal systems are not defined as a structure. Or geothermal heat exchange wells, or water wells.
Oh, does not include, okay, I see, yeah. So that's just a clarification.
Yep, they get a lot of calls about, is a well a structure? And they really do.
Okay, that's a good point.
I could see if you had a building over your wall, if you had a point wall or something.
It is, and really a little tiny well house is one thing, but.
Right.
You know, people could get carried away with that, but.
And they define the tree, okay.
Because people want to plant, if they have to plant a tree, they want to plant a sapling, so.
They don't want to spend the money.
They're defining sapling and tree.
Oh, I see. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Seedling and a sapling.
Supling.
Sapling, seedling. Well, I'm sure they do it because people take advantage, or they try to.
Bonsai tree.
I think you had a young guy in town that was selling
acorn trees
this spring.
Really?
Yeah, he had all little containers about this big and.
Oak saplings or seedlings?
No, they're seedlings.
He was selling them?
Yeah, he had them on Craigslist. I don't know how many he sold, but he could have come over to my house and gathered bushels of acorns.
Yeah, just one born every day. Okay, so what do you want? Do you want to vote on this, to accept this? With this, has to go to town meeting in
June.
So we're going to recommend these changes to the Board of Selectmen to bring to
town meeting.
Plus, we have to have a public hearing and everything, the whole process, which is good.
Then we should be, until the state changes it again,
well,
we should be good.
You can't beat them now. Nothing really. I mean, these seem logical. Logical.
Mm-hmm. Well, logical in some of the things they do.
Right.
Instructions.
Verification.
You want to vote then?
Yep.
I make a recommendation, or I move that the planning board vote to accept the shoreline zoning ordinance amendments as specified by the Department of Environmental Protection in their response to the CEO Land Use Director.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Should we add language that we are sending our recommendation to the Board of Selectmen?
Right, and recommend.
For town meeting?
For town meeting.
For town.
Recommend to Board of Selectmen for town meeting.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
So we'll just have to, hopefully the wording is, we have to put some wording that people can.
Yeah.
Understand, because.
Yeah, they'll vote no.
Clarification of.
Well, you have to keep up with the state ordinance, I mean.
Right.
Right.
If they don't understand it, they just vote no.
Default.
We wanna, I think we gotta make sure that we're not trying to say, we're doing this because of, you know, we're doing this because the state is saying.
I don't think we need to tell them why we're doing it.
Whatever.
We don't do it for the, we're doing, we're.
Hope they pass it.
They've passed all our requested amendments. We don't say, shall the town amend, what did we just do?
Yeah, we had that one.
Yeah, but the one we did before with the accessory dwelling, they voted against it. Remember, we had to delay, we had to wait for the next voting.
Yeah, we didn't explain.
Well, they.
Well, that and the.
Cause they didn't understand what it meant.
License, the amusement license.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, that was.
Here comes the circus.
I know.
They thought everybody's gonna have massage palaces and circuses.
You can't.
I saw my tables, Joe.
The whole thing with the ADUs, the accessory dwellings, I just saw one advertised on the lake for almost $1 million.
Really?
Accessory unit. Like, this property was built in like 2000. How did this get an ADU passed?
Where was it?
I wanna say it's up on Wadley. No, it's on.
We've allowed accessory dwelling units since I've worked here, and before.
Robert's Pond.
So just the accessory dwelling unit was selling for $1 million?
No, no, it's a ridiculous price property.
Oh, okay. But it had an accessory dwelling.
Right.
Were they touting that as a benefit?
Oh, yeah.
They could rent it out or something, or?
Oh, I don't know. I just looked at the price, when the prices in this town are going ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm curious now, Liz.
You got anything else?
No, I don't know. Do we, I don't, is there anything else we need to go over?
All right, then.
Well, make a motion to close the meeting, then.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And birds.
Okay, we.